Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Home in Progress, sponsored by Repco White Paints and Benjamin Moore. And I'm really excited about today's episode. Benjamin Moore, they just released their pick for the color of the year for 2026. They did that back in October. And while I've talked about it a little bit, I've found somebody way better suited to tell you about the selection and the why behind it, as well as some of the best spaces to try it in your own home. Andrea Magno, she's the Director of Color Marketing and Design at Benjamin Moore. She's part of the Benjamin Moore Color Studio, where she helps shape the color tools, research, and design insights that keep Benjamin Moore at the forefront of the industry for both pros and homeowners. She spent her time at Benjamin Moore deeply involved in pretty much all things related to color and design. You know, from developing educational programs and events for designers and architects, to guiding trend research, to helping create the resources that painters and homeowners rely on every single day. She's done all of that. Her expertise has made her a go-to source for publications like Apartment Therapy, Better Homes and Gardens, the Chicago Tribune, Country Living, HGTV Magazine, Real Simple, USA Today, even the Wall Street Journal, and of course, Home in Progress, previously the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, because Andrea's been on the show once before. Her path to the world of design started at Christie's Auction House, working in the European furniture department, and then from there, she moved into high-end residential design at Ingrau Inc. in New York City, contributing to a number of luxury projects. She studied art history and English at Lafayette College, later earning a degree in interior design with high distinction from the New York School of Interior Design. She also holds an MBA from the University of Scranton, and on top of all of that, as I work through the bio and get you that information, on top of all of those things, Andrea heads up the Benjamin Moore team who decides the color of the year each year. Andrea, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I want to get to color of the year and all of that. You know, I want to talk about what the color of the year is, you know, why you picked it and all of those things. But before we do that, I think we got to just take a step back and just talk briefly about what you guys go through. You know, you and your team, what do you go through to arrive at a color of the year? You know, what does that process look like?
Yeah, well, that is a very popular question that we get all the time. And one of the first things is that people don't necessarily realize how early we start the process. So we'll launch, we always launch mid-November, mid-October. And the process for choosing the color for the next year really starts like 3 to 4 weeks after that. So for instance, for 2027, right? We've already had a meeting. So it's usually mid-November that we begin. And what we do is have a series of workshops and meetings where everybody on the team is bringing different ideas, things that they've been seeing, anything and everything to the table. And I would say it's a very iterative process where it starts really broad. You know, sometimes we start thinking about the concept, sometimes it's more color driven. Mm-hmm. And really it kind of evolves from there to figure out, okay, you know, what are the big movements, trends that we're seeing, and then how does that relate to the colors that people are gravitating towards? And then I would say by late January, we are done putting the palette together. And, you know, a lot of times, even just in the color work, you know, we'll be working in our studio and we'll be falling in love with a particular group of colors. And we think, yep, that's it. We've got it. And then we'll come back the next day and say, what were we thinking? Yeah. And so, you know, it's really interesting where, you know, we're taking everybody's ideas and things and really weaving them all together. But then also thinking about, well, what do our customers want? What are the questions that they're asking? How can we really, you know, create something that's going to be inspiring, but is also going to be very applicable for what people want to live with, you know?
And you're doing that, like you just said, you settle on that sometime in January for the next year.
Yes.
You know, I have buyer's remorse. Like I live with that on a regular basis. You know, no matter what research I do, I'll regret whatever I purchase in a few weeks, you know, and then I'll go through that. I'll work through that. Do you guys ever have that? I mean, you've chosen in January. Do you ever hit August and think, oh, man, I don't know.
You know, no, we are very lucky we have not. And in a way, what often happens, you know, just thinking back on other years, we'll land on the palette. And then, you know, once we land on it, we'll start working on the photography. And, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into the production. But what we'll do is wind up seeing, you know, almost confirmation of what we've put together in all of these different areas. So it's actually kind of cool where, you know, we'll say, oh, did you see that award show? And, you know, so many dresses were in that color, or so-and-so was wearing this color tuxedo, or there was a, you know, exhibit that just opened at such and such museum, and, you know, it tied into the concept. So, you know, it's nice when we can have these little high five moments throughout the year. Yes. But you know, I don't want to jinx us though.
I just can't imagine making all of those decisions, especially since so much of what, you know, anything with a trend, with a color trend, with any trend, but it's based on, you know, what's happening in the world. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing what's happening, hopefully in January. And then when we hit, you know, September, you know, getting ready to launch, you know, hopefully that's all still in the zeitgeist out there. It's still happening. But, yeah. but you've seen that over and over. I mean, you guys must be good at what you do.
We try. Yeah. Well, but we do try to think ahead, right? So, you know, we'll say, okay, we know that, you know, such and such, that I mean, that we can figure out is going to be happening at this time. So, you know, even just in what's happening, you know, culturally or socially, how is that going to play into, you know, the mood or, you know, what we want to be just sort of like sensitive to as we're planning. So we try to, you know, take a very high level view so we can avoid those kinds of, you know, discussions.
So in your meetings, are you guys are just kind of throwing out, I mean, everything from maybe what might be coming up politically, you know, like an election or something. I'm sure that plays in because that affects people. Yeah. I mean, all of that stuff is in those initial meetings. You're just kind of chucking ideas out. Let's keep this on our radar. This is coming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, anything and everything is fair game, you know, so it's not as if we just limit it to interiors, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the things that's really important is really taking that holistic view and thinking about, you know, what are people wearing? What are people, you know, seeing at retail? What's happening, you know, macro trends, you know, all of those different things. So we don't want to limit ourselves, but I think once we start to shape what the concept is, then it becomes a little bit, you know, more refined, and that really helps to fine tune what are the colors that are going to really help us to articulate that message.
All right. So when did silhouette emerge, you know, as a contender in this process? How early did this emerge as a contender?
Well, you know what was interesting? We spent a lot of time talking about fashion and thinking about, you know, all of the different details that go into the craft of, you know, creating beautifully tailored garments and things like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, even looking over, you know, the course of time and taking a lot of inspiration from, you know, the past and, you know, great designers and whatnot. And then, you know, and we always look at fashion, but I think this year in particular, it was something that really stood out for us because we saw more and more people gravitating towards these more buttoned up kind of looks and really wanting to look put together, but not uncomfortable, you know, so it's almost kind of striking that balance. And, you know, so we were having that conversation, but then in parallel, when we were looking at different colors, we were really kind of leaning towards those really rich, deep browns. And, you know, as we were going through, we were like, oh, look at this color. The name is perfect. The color is perfect. And, you know, that really kind of, you know, it clicked. It really all kind of came together and, you know, just created more of a cohesive story between the name. You know, it's kind of like the moon and the stars all aligned.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what about brown? You know, like you said, you were looking at those rich browns right off the bat. You know, mm-hmm. for our listeners out there, how did that convey the ideas of what you were seeing in the world, even down to the fact that you talked about, you know, these tailored clothes and stuff like that? How does that connect to brown? Help us with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we've been seeing for a while is really the move towards these warmer colors. You know, even looking at our palettes from past years, you know, it's really that, you know, sort of the comforting notion that comes from having these warmer colors. And then with the browns, you know, we've been seeing more interest in using, you know, neutrals in interesting ways and, you know, using a color that has this presence and this depth to it that, you know, really kind of spoke to us, you know, and then really looking at that in parallel with some of the, you know, the research that we've been doing, you know, and looking at, you know, different images that we, you know, take from going to the different shows and whatnot. And so, you know, we were really seeing browns becoming this alternative to using black, using charcoal. Mm-hmm. And it has this kind of welcoming warmth to it. So, you know, it's become really, you know, a nice substitute for that and something that...
Do you think it's... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Do you think it's easier to work with this brown than a charcoal or a black? Is it just right on par with all of those?
I think it's a little bit more nuanced and maybe a little bit more interesting in its undertone. And that's something that we started to see in 2025, our color trend story there, where we were looking at this idea of colors that are more layered. They have a little bit more interest to them. And so that's where I think, you know, taking, you know, black or charcoal, that might be a little bit easier to work with. But then when you're getting into the browns, you can get some of this, you know, interesting undertones to it. You know, maybe it has a little bit more red in it. Maybe it has a little bit more of an almost like violet kind of cast to it. And that just gives it another level that makes it that much more intriguing.
When the color came out, all right, mm-hmm. So you guys released the color. And I had some people who are engaged in it. You know, they work in the business I work in. We work with paint, but they're not mm-hmm. really so much on the design side of things. I kind of am stuck in both parts of that world. So I was all down with the conversation. But they said, so what is that new color of the year? What is the color of the year? I said, it's brown, you know, silhouette. And they said, brown? What are you talking about? It's so boring. Brown's boring. What do you say to people who associate that with like 70s interiors or that it's boring? I mean, you just started to address it, the nuance of it, you know, the make the case.
Well, you know, it's so not boring. You know, it's one of those where it's like, oh, it's brown. And I hear you, you know, it's kind of like, huh. But when you really kind of get into it, there are so many browns that are just so rich. They're just so beautiful. And it's almost kind of like opening people's eyes to how fabulous of a color that can be. And, you know, once you get people there and you kind of give them some examples and you, you know, bring them along a little bit, it's kind of like, oh, that really is beautiful. And even looking at the way that colors have performed, like in 2025 with our trends palette, we had two browns in that that palette that performed really well. And so, you know, it's kind of like, okay, we're, you know, bringing people along and getting them to, you know, really embrace this color. And one of the things that's really interesting too is even looking at over time, you know, people will sometimes associate colors, actually quite often they'll associate colors with a particular decade or, you know, when mm-hmm. I was a little kid, my grandma had whatever. And it's kind of reframing that and thinking about, okay, yes, maybe in the 70s people had a lot of brown, but how is it being used today in a way that feels fresh? It feels new. It feels modern. You know, is it the way that you're pairing the colors, you know, kind of unexpected color combinations? So, you know, for some people, maybe it takes a little bit of coaxing, a little convincing, but, you know, but people really, you know, the response that we've had has been really quite positive, and people, you know, really kind of understand sort of the depth and richness of this particular color.
No, I agree. I think once people think about it, once they kind of work through that initial, they had the same reaction to Simply White, you know, mm-hmm. the people I'm working with anyway. Mm-hmm. Honestly, they had the same reaction to every color that comes out. You know, this isn't on my walls in my living room. What is she talking about? But then as they live with it for the year, you know, that really helps. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that people, you know, when they see this come out, you know, don't just have that knee-jerk reaction. Just live with it for a little bit. Because as you yeah. see more of it and you see it used in ways that are outside of what you're used to, or what you yep. initially think of, you know, and like you even mentioned, the colors that go with it, that you bring with it, expose mm-hmm. different undertones in it. It can push exactly. it in a completely different way. And then you start to get the vibe for where this can go and what it can do. So, yeah. I just thought it was so funny when they said, brown, it's so boring. So, well, you should have been here for Simply White then, because you would have had a flip out then.
But that's another good example, right? You know, we were kind of like, ooh, how is Simply White going to be received? But, you know, white, really? But, you know, and I think, you know, you bring a great point with people seeing more of it and really kind of wrapping their head around it. And that's one of the really great things about this campaign year after year, that one of our goals, I would say, would be to, you know, highlight colors that maybe people never considered before, you know, really kind of bring new ideas to the table that, you know, on their own, they wouldn't have necessarily even considered, you know. And I think there's a number of colors in the palette that do a nice job of that to make people consider things just outside of their comfort zone.
That's my favorite thing about this every single year. You know, I don't always, you know, it's not always my color. That's not my thing. Not every time. And I think that's what you expect. I mean, I don't think you're expecting to nail that every time for every single person. That's insane.
No.
But what I do see is, oh, I might, you know, I don't like that version of that color, but I never thought about putting that kind of a color with this kind of a color over here. It just pushes me and it makes me think, does it make me repaint everything? No. You know, I live with what I've got because I've got time constraints, but it does get me excited about it again. And that alone is really, really fun, just to see and learn something different, put new colors together. I never would have thought about brown. You know, we had a contest, a lot of people did, but we ran a contest where we had, I think I did multiple versions of it. I had our employees make their predictions and then customers, and maybe a handful of customers, two or three out of whatever many, 100 or whatever that entered, a couple of them said brown. One employee said brown. And I thought, oh, here's hoping he's wrong. And they are, or he or she, I think it was a she. She was right, you know, she wasn't right on the exact color, but right on the concept. And my first thought was, oh, no, you know, and then I see it and I think, no, this is really good. I really like it. Now, one of the things that I think is really interesting that you talked about, and I want to spend some time on it, is that in a ton of the commentary about it, you talked about fashion, of course, which we've hit, but you also talked about how this is, you know, silhouettes are kind of a reaction against micro trends, you know, micro trend fatigue, the idea that people are tired of chasing the next new look down. So talk about that a little bit. You know, what are you seeing consumers and designers push back against, and how did that insight shape the selection for silhouette?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it really goes back to people wanting to, you know, buy things, whether for their home or fashion or really anything that is going to stand the test of time, you know, things that are well-made, you know, beautiful tailoring, something that is going to be classic and timeless, but not to the point that it's going to feel stodgy or out of date or anything. There are just, you know, so many things, whether it's a, you know, perfect white coat or a white shirt or a, you know, beautifully tailored suit, just things that you're able to, you know, keep forever. And then, you know, you can layer in different colors, different, you know, more trendy, if you will, things. But it's really kind of that move to, you know, making investments that are going to make sense. And so, you know, we were seeing that a lot in fashion, and it's not just, you know, the fast fashion throwaway kind of thing. You know, it's really kind of, you know, looking at the, you know, craftsmanship, the fabric, what are the colors, all of those kinds of pieces, and then relating that idea to the home. And, you know, one of the things that we see all the time, you know, with colors, it's, oh, you know, there's a TikTok trend of this, and it's a mishmash of this and that. And I mean, it's impossible to keep up. And I think, you know, people react to that and say, you know, just like you said, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, how am I going to stay current? And it's almost like, you know what? I'm going to stick with what's classic, with what works. And then if there are smaller things that are maybe less expensive that I want to just kind of layer in, that's fine. But it's also, you know, buying things for the long term, or, you know, really looking at quality as opposed to, you know, flash in the pan.
So how, you know, what you released was silhouette and then color trends, 2026. It seems contradictory a little bit. You know, we've got I'm sure this has been brought up, and I know there's an answer for it. But you literally said in some of the things that I've read that, you know, this is a color you can live with for 5 years.
No, 100%. And, you know, and it's funny, you know, color trends, I mean, I've said it before. I'm like, oh, I kind of struggle with that word, right? Just because, you know, when people hear the word trend, they're apt to think, you know, it's only going to last for, you know, 9 months, 12 months. But in our industry, it's different. You know, it's not the same as, you know, buying a shirt and 1 year you love it and the next year maybe, you know, you get rid of it because it seems passe. But when people are choosing color, they're not choosing a color and then they're going to repaint in a year from now. So there has to be some level of longevity to it. And, you know, it's also a cycle that doesn't change as quickly. So, you know, one of the things that's really important to our process is looking back over the past couple of years and seeing, you know, how has this color family shifted, evolved, you know, like what are the undertones and elements to it that are changing?
Sure.
And then when we come out with a color from 1 year, how is that then relating to the colors that we put out there for the, you know, 2-3 years before that? So, you know, it's always bringing it back to paint and how people are using it in their interiors, you know, which is different, right, than other trends that are going to be easier to change and, you know, a little bit, you know, faster moving.
No, right. So what you're saying is like, okay, we just wrapped up. Oh, my goodness. What was it Blue Nova? What was last year's color of the year?
Cinnamon Slate.
Oh my goodness. I'm stuck in like a stuck in the past. Oh, say, okay. So Cinnamon Slate. But look at that memory. Let's spin that in a positive way. Look at my memory. I can remember way back. So Blue Nova, Cinnamon Slate. Would you say, I mean, I think you just said it, but for the people listening, because I think that's really a really great point that I have not heard made regarding this whole color trend thing. You're not saying Cinnamon Slate is like, that's out now. Let's move on. Yeah. Blue Nova, out. Nobody would paint with Blue Nova anymore. All of these things have some staying power. Do you think Cinnamon or that Silhouette has more staying power? Because it's a little, you know, it's maybe more leaning towards the neutrals.
Perhaps it may. I mean, even just thinking about Cinnamon Slate, and that did so well, you know, and I think what was interesting about that was that, you know, it definitely stands as a color, but it also can play as a neutral. So it kind of sort of bridged those two worlds a little bit. And then when you look at Silhouette next to Cinnamon Slate, you can see a little bit of that sort of evolution into, you know, more of that like brownie kind of, you know, direction. But then also thinking about how we have Batik in the palette for this year. So that's almost kind of like the cousin to Cinnamon Slate and really kind of having this, you know, smooth transition, you know, and then some years it's not a smooth transition, right? Maybe, you know, there's, you know, whatever's happening in the world where it is a little bit more drastic. But I think what we're seeing right now is it becoming this more gradual sort of move from 1 year to the next.
Yeah, because was it Raspberry Blush predated Blue Nova? That one was really bold. Everything in that palette. Yeah, that was an amazing memory. Everything in that Color Trends palette was, you know, we described it here. We talk about, we always talk about it like Cinnamon Slate's the star, and then there's a bunch of supporting actors and actresses that, and that's those other colors. With Raspberry Blush, it was like, you know what? Everybody's the star. Everybody wants to be the star.
Yep.
Everybody's vying for that attention. But Blue Nova, that palette was a little bit of a shift. This is definitely a more neutral, you know, leaning more muted, I guess I should say. So talking about fashion, this is not really color of the year related, but it's something that I ran into that you were talking about in another interview somewhere. And you talked about if people are struggling, you know, I think you were saying just to get their colors in their direction figured out. Head to your closet and check that out. It's just such a great, it's really good advice. So talk about that just for a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times people don't know where to begin. You know, they're kind of overwhelmed. They're not sure, you know, what direction to take. And so for the customer who doesn't know where to get their inspiration from, you know, think about what are the colors that you wear that you feel really great in? You know, like if you, you know, have to do an interview or you have to speak in front of a group of people or, you know, some kind of more high stakes sort of situation, you know, are there colors that you gravitate towards? So, you know, I know for me, I really like navy when I'm, you know, doing things like that. So that's sort of my direction. And I love to bring that into my home, even as kind of a an accent color and whatnot. So, you know, I think it's just a very personal way to get people wrapping their head around, you know, where they want to go color wise.
It's so interesting because, we talked to so many people in the store that, you know, I don't even know which direction to go. I don't know what I like, you know, And that is a piece of advice that we send them home with. Go check out your closet because you do know what you like. You just don't realize that you know. At least you're not thinking about it in terms of paint. You're thinking about it in terms of fashion. You know what you like. But those same colors, I mean, it's the same thing. If you feel comfortable wearing, you said navy, having that on your wall or in a space in your home, it's going to feel comfortable, like, very naturally.
Yeah, yeah. Or even more broadly, you know, not even down to a color family, even if it's, you know, you gravitate towards cooler colors or warmer colors, you know, even just that as a starting
point. Gets you moving, at least, in a direction.
Exactly. No,
I think that's really good. Now, we talked about some of these other, you know, supporting colors that go. Name a couple of them that are maybe your personal favorites, and then why? Why those really jump out at you?
I really enjoy choosing the palette, you know, the supporting actors, and we actually kind of, you know, refer to it sometimes that way. And I find that sometimes colors that are the supporting actors in, you know, that make up the palette, they can be, you know, really great crowd pleasers that people really kind of spot, and those, you know, perform particularly well. You know, and I think we have a nice balance. You know, we always aim to have a nice balance where we have, you know, a good number of light colors, darker colors, colors that are going to combine nicely together. Narragansett green we have, which is a very timeless classic color. You know, that's just totally stands the test of time. Batik is another one that I've really kind of never really paid much attention to that color, but I think that using it and seeing it, it's really, really kind of grown on me. So that's
that color for our listeners, because you don't want me to. I'm going to mess it up.
The color of my shirt here. This is my Batik shirt.
It's got like a pink warmer undertones, right?
It's kind rosy. Of like a nice blend of it's got a kind of pinky hue, but a little bit of violet, muted.
Yeah.
Definitely on the lighter side, and it's really quite flexible as far as how you want to use it in combination. We included Swiss coffee, which, you know, that's one that is, you know, super popular, one of our best sellers. And we really felt like, you know what, let's put that particular color in the spotlight this year, just because it's just such a perfect neutral white. You know, it's not too cool. It's not too creamy. You know, it doesn't come across as austere. It's great for millwork. Love that one. Rain Dance is another, you know, really, really nice one. That was one that I felt like, yeah, that's a color that I think people are going to really, you know, gravitate towards.
Well, so, I think you're dead on with that, because we ran a second contest after you guys released the color of the year. Then we ran another one where we wanted everybody to say what color moves them to paint whatever, you know, what color really jumps out at you. And Rain Dance walked away with it. I mean, the hundreds of comments we got, that was the one that really led the way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really good one. You know, it's you can use it in any room. You know, it's calming. It's got that kind of tranquil feel to it. So, you know, definitely a good one. And then really kind of almost the other end of the spectrum, I suppose, with Southwest Pottery. You know, that one is, you know, I was seeing a lot of that color, I have to say, last year at Maison et Objet in January. And, you know, it definitely has some, you know, energy to it, but, you know, something that, you know, it's not going to be for everybody, but it's a really, really good kind of almost more red version of a terracotta, you know, that we really liked.
Do you see people using these colors together? Do you see them? You see all of that, right? Using them in combination. Cause I think like silhouette is great with Swiss coffee. I mean, Swiss coffee is the millwork and the trim and all of that. That's great. But yeah, these things, they can stand on their own. I mean, there's no real, sometimes people see a color palette and assume I'm supposed to pick two or three colors from this. That's not really what this color trends booklet is all about.
No, I think it's, you know, there are a lot of different pairings that you can make, but that's not, you know, the main agenda. You know, it's really, you know, like I said before, it's, you know, just exposing people to these colors that maybe they never really noticed in the fan deck, and, you know, just kind of highlighting them and saying, you know, this is a really great color to try, maybe, or maybe even if that color is not the right one for them, it'll kind of move them into a particular direction.
That's where I think that's so valuable is just, it just like you talked about looking in your closet and seeing, okay, I like warmer, cooler colors or whatever, you know, just seeing, I like this kind of a tone, you know, that this kind of gets me thinking, now I can explore the thousands or hundreds of other versions of that I could find that maybe will work with me. So yep. Silhouette, you know, can you think of, or I mean, what would you think are some maybe unexpected ways that you'd encourage people to try it? You know, where do you see this being used and maybe an unexpected place that would be great in?
I think it could be really great in a dining room, a little bit different. You know, I think it could be really pretty, even if you were to use, you know, even that color just on the ceiling. You know, maybe you don't do it everywhere. You know, you can use it in smaller amounts and larger amounts. You know, it could be really great. You know, a lot of times people are afraid of using darker colors in small spaces. You know, mm-hmm. that's something we hear about all the time, you know, and a lot of times when we highlight these darker colors, you know, we'll have people whose first reaction is, oh, I don't have a room that's big enough to handle this particular color. But what's funny is sometimes smaller rooms in a darker color are just so fabulous, you know, so, you know, a study, an entry, you know, small powder room, even, you know, so many different things that you can do with it. So
well, that's really interesting. You mentioned ceilings. Have you done a darker color like this on a ceiling? Have you done much of any color on a ceiling?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we've definitely, I mean, you know, there's obviously the whole color drenching thing, you know, really kind of doing the whole all over piece. But then, you know, there's also, we're seeing more using a darker color on the ceiling and then lighter colors on the wall. So it's almost kind of like a reverse ombre sort of situation, mm-hmm. which is really cool. You know, or even using a darker color on the ceiling and then doing almost like a picture rail, you know, so bringing sure. the color down a little yep. bit. And what's great about that is it's going to soften the hard edges between the ceiling and the walls. So it's a little bit obscured. It yeah. can actually make the ceiling feel higher. But, you know, we do like to experiment, you know, when the architecture calls for it to use something, you know, on the ceiling and helping people. You know, it doesn't have to be a dark color or anything crazy, but, you know, thinking about using a color other than just, you know, straight out of the can white, you know, really thinking, okay, well, wait a minute, what is the right color that's going to complement what I have on the walls, what I have on the trim? And it just makes everything feel a little bit more considered, pulled together. And, you know, it's the details that really make
it. Oh, yeah, it's the details. I'm laughing because I had a ceiling just this past summer. I talked about it on the show. I don't know that I've ever conveyed to the people listening how horrible this experience was. But I had to paint my ceiling, and I had some peeling problems around the room, and I didn't realize there was also going to be peeling on the ceiling. No idea. You know, this is a house I bought a while back, and we just never did any of the painting in this space. So I fixed the peeling problem on the walls. And took care of that. And I got all of that ready and primed. And I thought, I'm going to paint the ceiling first. And I was so focused on getting this ceiling painted. I hadn't done a lot of ceiling, you know, ceilings in my past. So I was trying, I knew what to do, but I hadn't mm-hmm. done a ton of them. And I was just over focused on what day do I have to do this? I better get my stuff. I didn't think about color other than white. So I just painted white out of a can. Well, first off, I get that going and it looked fine because what was on the ceiling was dingy and I had no idea how dingy until I started painting it. Oh my goodness, we can't stop now because this is horrible. But anyway, it starts peeling off of my ceiling. It's falling onto my face. The ceiling is up. It was horrible, horrible. So I'm scraping it wet. I'm doing everything probably wrong, but I had a horrible mess, you know, and I got it up. And so it wasn't peeling anymore. And that's when I realized the color was way too, I didn't give my thought to the color because mm-hmm. what I put on my walls made that color look, it almost looks plasticky. It's too fake of a white. I should have toned that white down. I should have thought about that color. I should have given it that, but I don't dare paint it again because I'm sure the peeling problem's going to continue. I just managed to get it to stick. I will never touch that ceiling again, but what a bummer. And, you know, I guess my big lesson from that is to be intentional about everything. Take your time before you get started. You don't know what you're going to run into. Hopefully nobody runs into that. But still, you don't want to get it all done and realize, wow, that stark white is that white out of a can. Mm-hmm. That's not the way to go. And I don't think most of us think about tinting the ceiling paint.
Yeah. No, it's true. I don't think so, you know, and I think that it makes a big difference. It's worth taking the time.
Yeah. So a couple of the biggest mistakes you see people make when they're choosing or adopting a color of the year or a trends palette. Do you see any mistakes, or what would you advise people to, hey, think about it this way?
I mean, I don't think it's not necessarily specific to trends. I think just in general, you know, when people are choosing a color and they're not looking at it actually in their home, in the space to be painted, you know, I think that that can definitely, you know, be problematic, particularly with the neutrals. You know, I think a lot of times people will think, oh, you know, I'm going to use Balboa Mist and it's going to be great. And, you know, it's a no-brainer. But, you know, the reality is that the neutrals are apt to have those kind of funny undertones that are going to react with the light. You know, I remember years ago when I was painting in my home, I really wanted to use Balboa Mist. That's why I called that out, just because it's such a beautiful color. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I see the chips, it's a great color. I put a sample on the wall in my house, and it was almost, because of the direction of the light, it was almost pulling out this funny violet sort of undertone. And I was like, all right, this is exactly what I don't want. But here I work with color day in, day out. And, you know, it just goes to show that you have to test it in the space where it's going to be painted.
Gotta look at it there. We did the same thing with a neutral. It's exactly what you said. It's a neutral. How can I go wrong with a neutral? And I brought it home, started, and whatever I had, whether the carpet, which I thought was neutral too, but it had, when I saw it against this neutral, I saw green in this neutral. It's, how is there green in that? And it made my walls look pink. And how is this possible? I assumed we tinted the thing wrong. And then it turned out I just needed a color that worked better with my carpet and everything. The green went away from my carpet. All of these undertones could be shifted in other directions. But do not assume, just because you think it's a neutral, there's not a lot of color hiding in it.
Yeah. Now the lighting that's going to be in the store is definitely going to be different. So, you know, take the time.
Silhouette seems so flexible as we get to the end of this. You know, if you put it with, you know, certain materials and textures, I think you could have something really elegant, really rustic, something even modern. I mean, is that one of the big draws that you guys saw? Was that something in your minds as you were thinking this through?
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, because we're thinking about, you know, we have so many different types of styles that people are coming to us asking questions about, you know, so we want to be really kind of, you know, cognizant of, you know, people, maybe they live in Colorado and they, you know, have a little bit more of a, you know, cabin kind of vibe, as opposed to somebody who's in Connecticut, who's going to have something that maybe is a little bit more traditional. And, you know, I think being able to give examples of how a color can really work perfectly in a lot of different scenarios and different styles is, you know, I think that just speaks to how much more you can do with the color and why it's such a good color.
No, I think it's great. Last thing I've got for you, if you could sum up Silhouette in one sentence, you know, what feeling or atmosphere are you hoping it brings to homes?
I think it's bringing a grounded and elevated and elegant look with the richness of the color and, you know, really leaning into just the beauty of using a deeper color in a room, you know, and really creating this, you know, buttoned up kind of look that really makes a room feel considered and thoughtful and pulled together for beautiful result.
Just the opposite of the ceiling that I brought to my living room, that plastic white. Anyway, Andrea Magno from Benjamin Moore, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Home in Progress. If you enjoyed it, be sure to subscribe to the show. You know, this was episode 436, so there's a lot of other stuff out there. We didn't just start numbering these at 400. We actually started at 1, so there's a whole bunch of them out there. And the further back you go, the worse it gets. Just be aware. Be aware. You've been warned. Anyway, a lot of stuff to check out. So subscribe to the show. You can explore it that way. Also, if you would be so inclined, if you did enjoy the show, please leave us a review and consider sharing the show with your friends. It really helps spread the word and get more people listening. All right. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time. For Home in Progress, I'm Dan Hansen. Thanks for listening.